welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott drink a classic Wine Vault wine in Mercer Horse Heaven Hills Cabernet. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight I am joined by Scott, the unlicensed taxi driver.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here.
Folks, tonight we have an interesting wine from a not-so-interesting winery, but nevertheless, I believe we've had this winery on before. It's Mercer Family Vineyards.
Did Mercer air?
What?
I don't think Mercer aired.
I don't know if it ever did, but Horse Heaven Hills Cabernet,
which we love. Yes, the Triple H.
The 2016 vintage.
Hmm.
You know what? Normally I would wait until later in the episode to reveal some interesting things, but this is $14.99 of your money.
Okay.
And it has some reviews, Scott.
Really?
I won't read the reviews. I'll just tell you what the numbers are. First, tasting panel, the dude in the basement. Give it 91 of his points.
In a Malaysian basement.
That's right. And James Suckley.
James, are you in the house tonight?
I am. I tasted this wine. I thought it was very good. And I will review my actual review in the next segment. But I provided this wine 91 of my points.
On the Olympic scale, that's...
But, we don't talk about that. It's very good.
82.
Everyone liked it. It was very popular.
And then the Wine Spectator
Ooh.
Gave it 91 of their points. So 391s across the board.
From $14.99. Less than reputable sources.
Yeah, but still. This isn't Constellation, I don't think.
Hmm.
So 391s for $14.99 wine that you can find everywhere.
From a region we love.
Yes.
We love this AVA.
No, we've done Columbia's stuff, their Cab and their Merlot. Yeah, that's fine. They both got high reviews, too, like that.
Yeah.
But our hope is this is better than that.
Well, we just hope we can finish the bottle.
We've never had that problem before. So, So we're going to take a break, folks, and then we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. Folks, there are many ways to enjoy the Wine Vault. The first way is on iTunes. Look for the Wine Vault. Subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Beyond that, we are on Facebook at thewinevault.rs. We are on Twitter at winevaultpodcast. And our website is winevault.org. You can also drop us a line at winevault@outlook.com. We'd also like to thank our sponsor, Craig Walters Allstate Insurance, at 740-862-4585. For auto, home, or life, give Craig a call. We'll be right back on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2016 Mercer Family Vineyards Cabernet Sauvignon from Horse Heaven Hills in Washington. Just want to give you a little bit of background before I actually reveal the reviews there. Read those. This wine itself, I did not find any information as to how it's oaked, but I'm assuming it is oaked. Although I said at the winery, individual lots are fermented in stainless steel tanks. It is a blend of sorts. It's 77% Cabernet, 14% Syrah, 5% Petit Verdot, 3% Merlot, 1% Malbec.
I love that.
Well, that's a fairly common blend that you're seeing quite a bit in Washington, especially with the Syrah added to it. It's not unusual.
And the Verdot.
Yeah, the Petit Verdot. Yeah, it adds a little more structure, backbone, and tannin. So the reviews. The 91 from the tasting panel. Mm-hmm. They wrote, small amounts of Syrah, Petit Verdot, Merlot, and Malbec are blended into this smooth, lush, and well-balanced wine. It is toasty and rich with a long and generous finish. 91. Then James. Oh, sorry.
My review. Wait a minute. Why don't I go last? Because I'm the most important. Oh, I'm not.
You're not the most important, James.
Fuck all of you. Anyway, I provided this 91 of my points. And I wrote, bright, lightly spiced aromas of fresh raspberries and vanilla bean lead to a palate that has fresh and juicy feel, with plenty of soft, velvety tannins and sustained fruit flavor. Drink in the next 5 years.
Huh. And then the Wine Spectator, 91 once again. Broad-shouldered with a core of refined blackberry, orange peel and sage flavors that take on structure towards big but polished tannin. Best from 2020 through 2026. I like that. How they, you know, give it a year, but then it's going to be good for a five-year period. That's I like that. They're not being too overdramatic with that.
They're not.
So that gives you a little bit of the background of this wine.
But
and if you go on their website, they have a full line. Different levels all the way through. And they're doing even like Malbec and whatnot up there.
But if this really is a wine that you can put back for 7 years,
I don't know about
and
that.
It's going to improve,
yeah,
at $16.
Well, I think we've had some back. Oh, we've had some history with Horse Heaven Hills, and we've liked a lot of the wines from there, and especially even just even inexpensive stuff. With Columbia Crest, their H series, you know, those have all been really good. That red blend I keep coming back to,
oh,
whatever it
yes.
was. But we also like their Cabernet. But that red blend, just it's in the Value Price Hall of Fame at whatever it was, $12. And I just can't get that out of my mind. It was so jazzy and nice. It was like the Intrinsic shit and that Born of Fire, but it was $6-7 cheaper and didn't have dumb, gaudy reviews to go along with it. So let's see what this has. In the glass, this looks proper. It looks like Cabernet. It's dark. It's dense. There's no translucence, really, to speak of at all. Inky, dark hue. Nice legs defined. On the nose, cassis, blackberry. I think I gave us Christian Porter, too.
I sure did. Yeah, it's
just big cassis and blackberry.
Well, there's also an underlying almost pencil lead.
Well, there is. Well, there's no Petit Syrah, but yeah,
there's a
minerality, Scott.
Graphite,
something.
Something along those
some
lines.
Some general type of minerality. But it tastes like a big fruity Petit Syrah is what it smells like.
Like, almost like gun smoke, almost like...
You've said that.
Yeah.
Tannerite.
Tannerite. Huh. But there's a...
Cosmoline.
Metallic. Yeah. Not the...
It doesn't taste like metallic. I mean, well, it's a slight petrol. Yeah.
Nose.
Glycerin nose. It has a slight glycerin edge to it. Slight. Well, actually, it does have a slightly oily kind of not petrol, but glycerin-style nose with the blackberry and the cassis wrapped in there.
And that,
it's a good thing, by the way.
And that gunpowder kind of minerality with that.
Cordite. It's
there
the word
it
you
is.
Used. Yeah,
there
cordite.
It is.
Well, it's slightly sharp.
Yeah.
But in a good way.
Beyond sharper than a flint or a stone. Mm-hmm. Nose.
I gotta go.
I'll be honest. After this nose, I'm a little bit excited about this. I didn't expect this nose.
It tastes like Horse Heaven Hills Cabernet, doesn't it?
It really does.
With a big ass fucking tannic finish. And
you know, we 7 years. This tastes like something that could go 7 years.
Well, it tastes like something that needs at least two or three.
At
least.
If you... This is not a cab for the faint of heart.
No, Lord. Well, Horse Heaven Hills is jazzy in a certain sense, but this wine follows that up with some tobacco leaf and some...
This is harsh. It's not, harsh isn't the right word, but this is beyond rustic.
This is ugly.
It's ugly. There's a bit of beastliness to this.
So good in its ugliness, and guess what I'm doing?
I'm chewing on this, brother.
Well, I'm buying 3 or 4 bottles of this son of a bitch. It has that jazzy fruit, and jazzy, like a blue fruit, blueberry, with maybe a little bit of baking spice on the front palate. Maybe just the slightest kiss of sweetness from the fruit. But you know what I'm saying? Baking spices, just in general.
A bit of clove, nutmeg. Yeah, clove. Earthy spices.
Yeah.
But not soft.
Yes, yeah, soft. With those blue fruits that are, once again, soft. But then...
Then it changes. You just get a... So what Rob just described, he's coughing up a lung right now.
No,
what Rob just described with the blue fruits and the baking spices that are nice and subtle, it blows by so fast.
And when you can
miss it if you do not pull air over it.
Oh yeah.
So this is a wine that you need to work a little bit to get that sweet fruit, because then you're overwhelmed by a mid palate that goes on forever.
And by the way, if it goes down the wrong pipe, it hurts so bad.
It hurts so good.
Oh, yeah. I know.
You make it hurt so good.
Please don't sing that to me. It creeps me out. But
you make it hurt so good drinking this wine.
Wait, Aaron Neville, why do you always go back to that?
Like needles and thread. I know you, Rob. You know that I do too. You're drinking wine, holding your hand. Wait, I'm not. What did I say that?
You have white shit all over your face when you're singing that. You're just, I mean, you look like a blotchy.
It's not
bit.
The white stuffy thing, folks.
They thought it was paint.
They didn't know anything about paint.
Well. By the way, Scott, just so you know, you have paint on your arms, your face. Did anything get on the walls? On the
ceilings.
Ceiling?
Well.
You did a quite poor job. You can buy a splash guard, I think.
For your face?
Yeah.
Then you can't see.
It's clear, dumbass.
Yeah. Could you imagine how much paint would be on that thing?
Less the is on your face.
No, it just sucks.
Yeah,
painting ceilings sucks.
It looks great. You don't look conspicuous.
Got multiple surfaces. It's got soffit and then just a recessed ceiling.
Looks like somebody just drizzled it all over you.
Drizzled. That's a word we should use more often. Drizzled.
Well, you know, I don't know if you want people to use
it. It drizzled erectly.
I bet Deb was very impressed with you. She's not normally, but...
No. Trust me, she wasn't.
No. No.
Back to the wine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an apt description. Blue fruit. Subtle baking spices. But that flies by. And then you get this huge savory fruit component.
You do.
With some in the background... More earthiness, more almost like a
tobacco / red meat
with
minerality.
With some chocolatey things.
Well, it's a chocolatey mouthfeel. A dark chocolate.
Yes.
With a little bit of tobacco and slight meaty minerality. But the meaty minerality is very, very faint.
Dark fruit come into play then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Currant. Stewed prune, maybe.
Something like that.
Stewed fruit. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with that mid-palate, hiding, lurking in the background, lurking like a beast, are the tannins. That's when you first see them. And then they take over the show and ride it to the finish. You know, you wondered, is this oaked or not?
It's oaked.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. But everything's so big, I'm not really sure. The only reference to oaking, one of the reviews talked about toasty, I think. There's a touch of toastiness there, and that's the only thing that hints of the oak.
I'd assume it's American oak.
Which this bastard can handle.
Yeah, I can. I mean, once again, though, you're not going to mistake this for a $50 bottle of wine. But a $30 bottle of wine, you might. But you know where it's from. At least I do, because of that fruit palette. That blue fruit is synonymous with everything that we've ever had from Horse Heaven Hills. They all have. It's just like Alexander Valley. You can pick out certain characteristics, or Sonoma proper. You can pick out certain characteristics that remind you of that region. Horse Heaven Hills, stylistically, they're blending them very similarly, and they all have a similar edge. Now, some excel beyond. This is far bigger of a brute than the other ones.
This is probably the, you said brute. It's rustic. A brute. I'm not comparing this to the quality and the overall wine. But in terms of brutishness, this reminds me of Hecula. In that it's a big brute of a wine. It smacks you in the face. It's not for everybody. I've shared Hecula with people that I think have wine chops. They don't like it. It's too much for them. I think this might be that too. I really like this wine.
Yeah, because even like your big Napa cabs and things like that, those come at from a certain direction that you can understand them. This has a little bit of an unorthodox approach in that regard. It reminds you a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily say Hecula, more Brica.
Okay, I'll give you that. But the only comparison point, because they're completely different.
Yeah.
Is the beastliness of the. You always talk about Hecula. It's such a beast of a wine.
It's rattlesnake venom. Yeah.
This is beastly similar to that. It's not for everybody. But
no.
I want to see this. What this would be in 6 or 7 years.
Well, this would definitely open some eyes when they drank it. Some people would be surprised by it. Like Shakespearean Phil, if you poured this for him, he'd go, it would perk him up. Yeah, it's very good. More along the lines of, because of its price, it's just phenomenal. $14.99 right now. I think wine.com has it for $15.99, but I bought it at $14.99. And I've passed it up so many damn times. I knew the review was out there, but I passed it up. But I shouldn't have. I should have been buying some of it because it's good. Now, it's not. It is, I think, partly because of the really heavy mid palate. It does need, like the Spectator said, at least another year of just sitting and sorting itself out. Maybe two. And then having that 3-year drinking window. So I think a 5-year overall thing like, who said that? Oh, Jimmy.
No, Jimmy said 7 years.
No, I said 5.
Said 5. So who said 2026?
That would be the Spectator.
Well,
7 years would be a long time, but...
I get it, but if you buy 4 or 5 bottles of this, hold one that long and just for shits and giggles to see.
Oh, yeah. Hell, man, if you have a under $20, if you like have a house wine... And you spend, say you're a little bit more posh. So say you normally go spend $25 a bottle on a case. And that's what you call your house wine for nicer evenings or nicer so people come over. Hey, man, save $10. Buy this.
Yeah.
Now, hold it back. Start drinking it in a year or two and then have it be your house wine. You're really going to like what you have.
You know who would love this wine? Because.
No. Oh, yeah.
My cousin would love this.
Yeah.
It's not Justin.
No, it's not Justin.
But it's got some of the characteristics that Justin has that I think he would appreciate here, too.
Is he like Justin?
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's be frank. The 15 Justin, not the 16 Justin.
I haven't had the 16 Justin.
Yes, you have. You had it at the barn, but you wouldn't remember because you were spending $40 for a fucking ounce of fucking bourbon.
Might have been a little intoxicated that night. Split the bill.
Yeah, we had it then. It wasn't great, but it was okay. 15 Justin, what it had was a nose that would just make you want to die. There, its nose is fantastic. It's a better nose than this. But as a wine, this is a better wine.
It's, but got, you're more, also, it's got more possibilities.
Apples to oranges, too.
Yeah. Not,
Paso
not
to this.
Not an app comparison.
No, it's not. And Paso, I think, is always drink now.
The other thing about that particular vintage of Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Was there ever a more luscious chocolate
Mm-mm.
flavor in a wine? It was freaking
If it
phenomenal.
Weren't for you, Justin would be up on that damn board. Dickhead. Well, then again, if it wasn't for both of us, Ferrari Corona Merlot would have been up on that board. By the way, I did 15 Ferrari Corona Alexander Valley Cabernet.
Yes.
It's really fucking good. It's really fucking good.
What does Ferrari Corona make that's not really fucking good?
I haven't found it yet. I don't know. Maybe the rosé. But no, that was really fucking good.
I
have the 12, 13, and 15.
What other whites have you done?
The Fumé, and we are going to eventually...
Yeah.
We'll get the Chardonnay, too. Oh, it's just, Chardonnay. Right now, it's
$17.99. I don't care.
Yeah. Go buy that.
Yeah, I don't care. Mm-hmm. I just think it's going to be good.
Mm-hmm. We just enjoy Ferrari Corona wines. It's like a baby ZD.
But back to this.
Mm-hmm. Mercer's like, no, talk more about us.
It's funny. Occasionally.
Yes.
You start a bottle off with a Christian pour.
I had a feeling.
You did with this.
I had a feeling. That this wine's gonna be a
feeling
good wine.
Deep inside. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Rob had a feeling.
It's true. Triple B will be very displeased, although she tasted it and goes, "Really?" She sometimes takes a sip before she goes upstairs because we do two episodes, and she tasted it and goes, "Wow," or something. So she knows it's good. I originally bought it with the intention of just drinking it, but then I was like, yeah, we'll do it on the show. So I guess I can buy more of it, see if it's any good. That's kind of what Scott and I's episodes, we're tasting wines to see if we want to buy more of them.
No shit.
That's what we do.
Well, I think we know the answer to this one.
I know. So, folks, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back here on the Wine Vault. We're back, folks. You just heard what is it called? Electronic Music is Bullshit. That's the name of that song. Yes, that's one of the earlier songs that I did. I was on GarageBand, obviously, and I went, oh, wow, this techno shit is easy to do. And I just did that. That's why I called
it. It's one of my favorite ones you've ever done.
Electronic Music is Bullshit.
We've talked about it before on the show. It's one of my favorite
Kingdom
songs you've
Come
ever done.
Is actually probably the one, not C-U-M, but C-O-M.
Thank you for the
Yes. I'm not pornographic in my nips. I think that's
your
the
nips?
One.
You're not pornographic in your nips?
No, I'll play for that. I'll play that for you later. I think that's what you're thinking.
Oh. That promises. Yes, yes. Just don't let Becky know.
That's right.
You're a bad man.
Nevertheless, just got back on vacation from vacation. And Scott had actually, he was down in Myrtle Beach. Then I went down to Myrtle Beach. We both went into Total Wine.
Yep.
And I think I've been into the Louisville location, Orlando location, and then
gotta say it properly. Louisville.
Louisville. Yeah.
Louisville.
It's not Louisville. It's Louisville.
Louisville? I went to Louisville, and we saw the Kentucky Derby.
Is that in Illinois? Anyway, so Total Wine, if you're around the country, you probably know where that is, what that is, who they are. We don't because we're in Ohio, and we don't have such things here. So.
Who are you?
So Scott brought back a lot of the usual suspects. Yeah, when I'm walking around the store, I went, hey, there's the bitch wine that some bitch is going to buy. Oh, Scott bought that. That's right. Oh, there's the other bitch wine that someone... Oh, Scott bought that. Yeah, Scott bought every damn sucker's...
No.
You bought Samuel Robert. They had, folks, Samuel... I'm sure you've heard that episode.
By now you've heard the episode.
With the motocross man. They have that fucking thing shamelessly everywhere. I mean, they had like a big fucking case. I sent Scott a picture of it. A big fucking case stack of that. But no, it wasn't even a case stack. It was like 10 cases all stacked up in a fucking... It was a Samuel Robert winery castle. And they built a fucking castle out of the fucking cases of wine. I almost hit it with a cart. And then...
It's because you were drunk.
They had all sorts of...
They have big aisleways there, folks. Well, you couldn't hit anything with a cart.
I know. So
if you went blindly and closed your eyes and had a full cart and pushed it down an aisle, you wouldn't hit anything.
Well, folks, I was in that store in a long time. Scott has been, too. But I walked around just looking at the shelves closely. And a lot of... And I guess you'd call that a wine superstore.
Well, they advertise 8,000 different wines.
All right. Well, let me speak to that. One thing I noticed about that location, and I don't recall it at Louisville, but or even the Orlando location, but this location in particular, especially, it seemed like there was a lot of filler wine where you would have the same wine in multiple spaces. Samuel Robert Pinot Noir was one of those wines that they used often. And you'd even see it on both sides of the fucking aisle. So say you have two rows of Pinot. Okay, well, let's just say 20% of the stuff would be Samuel Robert, but different spots. You sell it from other wines, too. And normally it was their winery direct stuff.
Yeah, they've got a lot of winery direct, which...
I know, it's getting... You know, it's a little too much.
Well...
Don't put that on there. First of all... That makes me not want to touch it.
But you know what? I would appreciate that more than I did the first time because you at least know what you're going in for.
But what are you going in for?
It's a winery direct wine, which means they're having trouble marketing. They're not just going to market on their own, but that's fine.
Well, they also have Martin Ray. As a winery director, and I know Martin Ray. They're in California. They make good wine.
But they're probably making a line that they're just selling there.
Actually, they had all of their stuff there.
Huh.
All their different little small... They actually have a Santa Cruz Cabernet. I didn't buy it. It was like $37. But
so maybe winery direct doesn't mean what we think it means.
I don't know. I think it means that they're not selling to wine.com. Although you can find some of those things on wine.com. But... One thing that they were pushing heavily was, I don't recall the name. We'll have to take a break. Some Argentinian Cabernet. It was Moscota Vineyards.
Yeah.
It just came to me. And so they were pushing the shit out of this stuff. It's Argentinian. And the way it was presented to me, well, actually, I was standing there looking through the Cabernets. And one of the people, salesperson, whatever, came up to me and goes, if you like Camus, you should try this. this is only 30 some bucks a bottle. I went, well, first of all, why would you think that I like Camus? Is there something wrong with me? Are you suggesting that there's something wrong?
But well, listen, obviously, he was an astute judge of character. He'd been in the store for 3.5 hours, and he watched you. They caught you on closed circuit camera putting stuff in your pockets.
Do you have a
plainly
stutter?
You were a Camus drinker.
Well, anyway.
You were profiled.
Anyway.
Accurately.
I said, I'm not a big fan of the Wagner style, which I'm not sure if you knew who he was, but he stopped.
He thought you were talking about classical music.
I don't think he knew that either. He had a bit of a hillbilly in him. But he goes, oh, shit.
That's like the puck on the kettle black.
I'm practically European. Anyway.
European, he's
like,
all right.
He's like, I shouldn't be bothering you, should I? I went, no, you shouldn't.
Whoa. He said what?
He didn't say that. But he understood that he should press his own elevator button, I guess, is what it amounts to.
God
like,
damn it,
like, I'm
son.
Not a big fan of the Wagner style, the fruit bomb. And I said the fruit bomb stuff. I'm not. I don't know why you'd think I was looking at Camus. Why would I come into I can buy Camus anywhere. Why would I come in here to buy Camus?
But yet, did you buy one of those bottles of that Argentinian fruit bomb that's similar to Camus?
Okay. No. First of all, you don't follow stories very well. Muscota Vineyards was not the fruit bomb that he recommended at all. At all. This was some California thing. And it wasn't him. Later, someone different said,
oh, someone different.
He goes, by the way, you know, a winery that we really like that we've done that we think is really great is this Muscota Vineyards. And it was some winemaker. I don't fucking know who he was, but they said he was the most famous in the world that I never heard of. Whatever.
Well, they're always the most famous in the world.
They're always in it.
Is
course,
he as famous as Samuel Coelho?
He's apparently not. Not to me. Anyway, but he was swearing up and down about this Muscota Vineyards. And it was like, I don't know, 15, 16 bucks. I was like, you know what? Fine. If it shuts you up and gets you away, I will take a bottle. We'll try it on the show. And I'll say that you're a big douche. Anyway, I went around, bought some other stuff. Or picked out some other stuff, whatever. The Martin Ray, I bought their Sonoma County Pinot. $14-15. And James Suckling.
Yes. Yes, I provided that 94 of my points.
He gave it 94 of his points.
And you bought it.
Well, I did. I was actually going to get it on wine.com originally, but it's a Sonoma County Pinot. And hey, if it's bad, we can make fun of James Suckling.
That would not be enjoyable for me.
Sonoma County Pinot.
Yeah. And some dumbass gave it a 94.
Please don't call me a dumbass. I have sensitive feelings.
But he gave it a 94. So, hey, whatever.
Jesus, son.
That's a win-win situation.
Well.
And Martin Ray, I've had Martin Ray stuff in the past. They make some really fucking good Cabernets. They really do.
What varietal did you say they make good?
Cabernet.
Oh, okay. And, you know, what's a really great region for California Pinots? What's a good AVA? Sonoma County?
Yeah.
No.
That's okay.
Okay. Sure it is.
It's like in the teens. Like you wouldn't know. You're stupid.
Yeah, I anyway. Know that they don't make Pinot Noirs, good ones, in Sonoma County, son.
So I bought this Muscota. So, Scott, when you were in Total Wine, I assume someone came up to you and gave you a free sample for free. Which would be a free sample.
And it was...
No one did that, did they?
Well, that was the wife. She was... never mind.
Nobody did that.
We're on vacation.
Well, so was I. So, I was there, and a lady that was behind the counter, and for these purposes, she looked like a supermodel.
What?
Yeah, she did. She was highly attracted to me, probably, is what I said. And that
she knew you were a mean man?
Probably. Who knows what she was doing? She needed to be drug tested. But anyway, she came kind of a fast walk / run. Sir, I just had to bring this to you. I think you, I just thought you might want to try it. And I thought, you know, I would like you to try this. And it was the Muscota Vineyards. Once again, Muscota. They're Unamame, Una Nime. I'm looking at the bottle right now. I can't even fucking pronounce it. The Gran Vino Tinto. Once again, Argentinian. It's 60% Cabernet, 25% Malbec, 15% Cab Franc. And I tasted it. And I really was kind of poo-pooing their shit prior to this, mind you. And it is fucking delicious. I mean, it was absolutely fucking amazing, this Unamame. And I have it right in front of me. Think of, you know, you don't like Amarone.
Yeah.
But this emulated an Amarone.
Hmm.
She said, it reminds me of a Zinfandel. Well, maybe Amador Zin.
An Amador Zin.
But Jesus, it reminded me of an Amarone with a sweet fruit, slightly port character with a raisin finish. Just an ungodly wine for $20.
Nice.
And so once I had that, I went, maybe this Muscoda isn't bullshit. So I bought their Grand Reserva, which was $19.99, along with their regular, which was $14. About three different bottles. Really impressed by this wine that sold me. That's probably why they brought it to me for free. By the way, they also didn't bring it to me in a plastic cup. They brought it to me in an actual wine glass.
That's very nice.
It was nice. It was a nice touch.
What style glass was it? Just a general wine glass wine?
Honestly, it was one of those like little mini port glasses. It's quaint, but at least it looked like a glass. It just was smaller.
Yeah, that's not a wine glass, son.
It was a port glass, but it was
better than a plastic cup. Maybe.
Aesthetically.
Maybe.
Yeah, it was nice. It was good.
It was good?
Well, I appreciate it. And by the way, this bottle for this Moresco is the heaviest fucking thing you've ever seen in your life.
Well, just don't drop it on your foot.
But I think we'd get too drunk on that, drinking it on the show. Tastes too boozy.
Well, we could do three episodes tonight.
That's not going to happen.
Why not?
It's just not going to happen.
Your baby.
Nevertheless, that was an enjoyable experience, but back to Total Wine as a whole, though, I'm concerned as to the fact that they're getting a little bit too winery direct, a little bit too bullshitty, and I think they're losing their stock is not well organized, at least in the Myrtle Beach store.
I had some concerns as well. I wanted to see 8,000 bottles of wine. It's well documented. Clarendon Hills, we just love their stuff. I just wanted to go through the Australian section and see if they had any Clarendon Hills. They don't have an Australian section.
No, it's just mixed in to Syrah. It isn't well done, and it isn't. I don't think that is properly. I don't know if the term curated would be effective, but I don't think they have a particularly good wine steward there.
Well,
and that was pretty obvious in the slap hazard way. And quite frankly,
they just don't do Australian stuff, which is fine.
Well, but the Orlando store was much better. The Louisville store was much better.
In terms of having Australian stuff or just
in
general?
Terms. Like Zinfandel. They didn't really have anything of merit.
No.
Even their Bordeaux, except for the bitch wines that you bought, they wasn't anything of merit. I can do much better on wine.com, and quite frankly, price-wise, I could do better on wine.com.
Some of their stuff was good prices. Some of it wasn't. There was a high-end Antinori that was a good price. What I liked about the French stuff, they had quite a good selection from every damn region.
Not great, Scott.
I thought
They had that one Bordeaux with the pirate ship on it.
That was a little weird.
Well, they always have that shit.
But that's who they are. They're going to have this winery direct bullshit, so it's going to be mixed in there. So you got to look out. But Vacation in Myrtle Beach, did you expect to see that much French stuff?
Yes, I expected to see more, and I expected to be better because it was
better.
They
had Chateauneuf, they had Bordeaux, they had Burgundy, Scott, they had Rhone.
The Orlando store, Scott.
Okay, all right.
Had easily double the Bordeaux selection.
Okay.
Just in Bordeaux, easily double. That was the poorest selection of a Total Wine store I'd ever been in.
Okay.
But no, easily double this. Imagine double.
But it still had a wide variety of French stuff, and probably 200 to 300 offerings of French stuff.
Yeah, but none of it you really want to buy.
That's our style, and maybe everybody's not going to do that. But, and you know, I need to go to the Orlando store. Where's the Orlando store?
Down where it takes like $18 in tolls to get there.
That's everywhere in Orlando, son.
It's, I don't know, just look it up. Google it, motherfucker.
Wait.
On 14th Street. I don't remember what the fucking street name was.
What part of town?
There was a fucking lot of concrete. I don't know. I just remember I drove there.
You remember you drove? Were you intoxicated?
No, it was just a long drive, and I had to go to a goddamn gas station to get fucking 70 fucking 5 cents to fucking get on the fucking highway, fucking Orlando. Why is it Orlando?
When you have a rental car, you don't need to pay the toll. It just goes on your rental car fee.
It wasn't a rental car. It was our car. We drove down there. Dummy.
They'll send you a bill in the mail.
Anyway. So let me just say
Speaking
this.
Speaking of dummy.
Why the fuck do you even give a shit about... Charge a dollar. I have a dollar. When you have to have exact change, I don't have fucking 3 fucking quarters to get off the fucking highway and get back fucking on. Dumbass Orlando. Orlando fucking sucks.
Orlando's awesome. So.
Orlando, go fuck yourself, Orlando. Get in your fucking ocean. Cocksuckers. Anyway. What the hell is the time?
But you like the Total Wine Shop there.
It was better than the Myrtle Beach one. But then again, everything is
so what part of town was that in that you spent $18 on tolls?
I don't know. It was concrete there, okay? It was fucking
that
hot.
Narrows it down.
I don't know. It's shitty. It's a shitty part of Orlando. That could be any part. I know. The downtown looks like shit. The whole damn fucking
city
No,
the downtown
sucks.
Looks like construction is what downtown Orlando
The whole
looks like.
They should fucking just fucking bulldoze it down.
What is wrong with you? What's all up your ass?
We don't have any listeners in Orlando. I know.
I love Orlando.
I know you do because you're a dumb bastard.
No, because we go there and we have a great time. We appreciate the city.
Well, appreciate the city.
We appreciate Kissimmee very much. We have
Jesus
great
Christ.
Places.
You appreciate Orlando.
It's not my fault.
You appreciate Myrtle Beach for all its culture as well.
There's no culture in Myrtle
Beach. There's no culture in Orlando.
I didn't say there was culture.
You appreciate both of them equally.
But you know what's great in Orlando?
Nothing.
Charlie's Steakhouse. But you didn't go to Charlie's, did you?
Actually, well, we
you
did.
Went to Charlie's Light, which is not what I
recommended. It wasn't light. It wasn't very
it's
good.
It's not what I recommended. Well, I said go to Charlie's, Rob.
Scott, what was I going to do? I have 3 mildly insane children. How the hell would I take them to fucking a nice place?
You took them to a nice place. You just went to the wrong nice place.
Well, we weren't going to do that. So anything else you want to whine about?
Oh, I'm whining? Listeners, you judge for yourself who's whining and who's not.
So, folks, I'm going to move on because Scott bores me.
Charlie's Steakhouse is fantastic. Scott, they have specially designed ovens. They use citrus wood and oak.
It's all electric ovens. Scott doesn't know the difference. 1,600
degrees.
Wow, it's hot.
Bam.
Anyway.
Fantastic steaks.
Yeah, if you want to taste like a fucking briquette. Anyway.
Bullshit.
So, Scott, have you ever been to the Aspen Grill in Myrtle proper?
You've gone a couple times. You've talked about it.
I've only been there one time.
Okay. I thought you...
And I've never talked about it before.
I thought it was one of your spots in
It's
Myrtle
not,
Beach.
And I haven't. It's a good...
Was though. It good?
Well, I'm going to get to that. Jesus H, man.
No, I've not been.
Okay, good. That's what I went. That was my the answer I was expecting.
So you could talk about it.
So anyway, Triple B and I went there on a date night. Same day you were whining and complaining that Sue should do A, B, C, D, F, G.
And you didn't go where I said you should go, but that's okay.
Where did you say I should go? I don't go to Golden Corral. Where did you say I should go?
Oyster Joint.
I don't want to go to the Oyster Joint. Back. Why?
No, actually, what I said you should do is take the kids there, get free oysters, and go back and get the free
what
oysters.
What was the name of the place?
Dirty Dan's.
We went to the Seafood Shack. Dirty.
No, Seafood Shack's supposed to be good. I've never been. It's Seafood Shack's supposed to be good. Was it good? Yeah.
It was expensive. No alcohol.
What?
Well, no. I mean, $100 for Becky and I and William and Henry. You know what the kid...
No alcohol?
No.
In that tab?
William and Henry's kids' meals cost $10 a piece.
That's expensive.
It's ridiculous. And we had sat on a fucking picnic table because they had no seats inside, which is fine because it looked nasty in there. I had flounder and shrimp. It was fine. Becky had scallops, broiled scallops, but they were the bay scallops. They weren't regular.
Yeah.
And collard greens. And they charged $25 for that. I mean, it was nonsensically expensive.
But see,
that was with tip, by the way. $100 with tip.
Okay, well, but still, it's Orlando. There's good food abound. Expensive per se, you can find your little spots, but Myrtle is mostly chain restaurants.
It is, or
glorified stuff, and it's marked up by 25% to 50% on the price points too, and it's I've been going to Myrtle Beach for years, and it can be difficult to find a local mom and pop restaurant.
They don't exist.
We love that. No, they're out there. That's
why
they
don't exist.
That's why I suggested Dirty John's, because it is a local mom and pop place, and they're good, and their food was good, really good. I had a. Their special was a Mai Mai, which, you know, that's a blasé cut, but it was a huge portion. I probably had 3/4 pound. It was 2 huge fillets done really well, a nice char on them, and the sides were fantastic. You had options on the sides, and it was $25. And, oh, by the way, you got a cocktail included in the price. We loved it. Oysters, the fried food was good. But the deal with Dirty Don's, for those of you who do East Coast vacationing in Myrtle Beach, with every receipt, you got free oysters on your next visit.
Mm.
And we're not oyster snobs per se, and I wouldn't say Myrtle Beach is the oyster capital of the world, but their oysters were really good. You know, we probably went there a half dozen times, 5 times, probably had oysters every time but once. Didn't have a little crappy little small oyster the entire time we went. Mm-hmm. And you're at Myrtle, the food's not that great. I would expect bad oysters, to be honest with you. They're fantastic.
Well, the Aspen Grill, as I originally said.
What about the Aspen Grill?
Turned out to be was Charleston food.
Hmm.
Having been to Charleston, it reminded me of Charleston cuisine. So anyone that's down there, it's kind of a southern, but more not full blown southern, if you know what I mean. You don't know what I mean.
Well,
there's a Charleston style of cooking.
There is, and there's a nouveau chic part of the in part of Charleston where they're doing these spins on classic southern dishes.
Yeah. So we started off, we did an heirloom. They had a appetizer, heirloom tomato salad. So we just ordered that as an appetizer, but they split it between Becky and I. So they made each of us our own little heirloom tomato salad. And I think the appetizer was $12.99. They just split it with 2 plates, which I really appreciated. That was nice.
Well, and they don't have to do that.
No, and it was a wonderful balsamic reduction. And then they had this.
Was it with Mott's? What was the dish? Just tomatoes and the balsamic reduction? Maybe a little with onion, Mott's. A little cucumber?
With Mott's.
With Mott's, yeah. So Caprese.
Yeah. Although they didn't call it Caprese. But nevertheless, they also.
But if you're serving heirloom tomatoes, make that the star of the show and call it heirloom tomato salad. Good for them.
I've had better heirloom tomatoes. But really? Still. They then did a tomato basil on special, tomato basil soup, bisque, which I'm a
You're
sucker
a sucker for bisques.
But they also put goat cheese in it.
Well.
And it was really nice. Not the best, but good. And then for our entrees, Becky did a, I want to say, was it grouper? I can't recall. Grouper or snapper, one of the two. Fairly ordinary, you know, presentation, but I did short ribs, and it came on like a mash, some sort of mash, with a bacon collard green center. I think you saw a picture of that.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, the short ribs were uninspired, slightly tough.
Well, Rob sent me a picture of that.
It should be ooey gooey.
I didn't know what the proteins were. They looked like some kind of deep fried medallion of meat.
They weren't, but they had like a carrot puree, which had no flavor.
That's what that was. I wondered. I thought it was a risotto.
And quite frankly, it should have been either on risotto or a bed of cheesy grits. That would have been much better and more representative of the Southern cooking style than the mash, which really didn't have any flavor and didn't eat much of because of the keto thing. But it was okay. I make a better short rib. We both make a much better short rib. Wine-wise, I did a little Cote de Rhone because Becky did the Emilio Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
And then I ordered, they had a late harvest Cloudy Bay.
Oh.
But they didn't have it. Found that out. So I ended up having to slum with a Santa Dame late bottle vintage.
Okay.
Which was good. And then Becky got this flourless chocolate torte, which was fine. But it was overall, it's just like, you know, I saw some other meals, like they did their filet, very uninspired. And the meal was like, I could have, like a steak, a 12-ounce ribeye for $46. No. Go fuck yourself. That's stupid.
It just sounds like they were missing the mark just a little bit. Not that it wasn't a good spot. It missed the mark.
It wasn't great. Yeah. It was okay, but not great.
And sometimes they do. Well,
Thoroughbreds is very good down there.
Don't know that one.
You don't know, that's North Myrtle, but
I don't do
steakhouse proper. It's quite good. Greg Norman's, if they have a decent person on the grill, does okay. Chuck's is disgusting. Benito's Italian oven is actually Italian brick oven is good if you like pizza, pasta. I did a sausage with peppers and onions.
Nice.
In a fresh marinara with a meatball on the side.
I'm a big fan of Angelo's, which is a...
Yeah, I've eaten there too. It's really, it's better.
Mom and pop. But it's...
Angelo's is better.
So everybody knows Myrtle Beach for these calabash style, all you can eat seafood buffets, fried stuff. Angelo's is different. They do, you can get a steak, you can get seafood, whatever, but they've got an Italian homemade buffet, all you can eat Italian.
Yeah.
They make their own pasta. It's mom and pop local Italian. It's not the best Italian you've ever made. But for what it is, it's really freaking good. Mm-hmm. You know, they have stuffed shells with ricotta. But it's like their gravy, it's fine. It's not my favorite red sauce, but they do a good job. But the steaks, phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal. You know, the big man, Hank, he's got a little higher level on steak than most people. He loved their steak. Mm-hmm. I think he got a strip, like a 18-ounce strip. It was phenomenal. And their prices are reasonable. But you can get, you know, a decent steak and the pasta, and it's $30.
It's not bad.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. It's also very friendly
is a proper term.
But that's more Myrtle Beach, South Ocean Boulevard. I think it's like about 9th Avenue South off South Ocean Boulevard. So the opposite end of the spectrum where you were at in North Myrtle Beach.
True. So, folks, with that, with the breakdown of Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Food.
Quite boring.
Yeah, I know. We're going to take a break and be right back here on the Wine Vault.
Unlicensed taxi driver here. Folks, have you ever sat back and thought how you first heard of the Wine Vault? Well, we need your help reaching more listeners. What you can do is go to iTunes, give us a review, give us 5 stars, give us your thoughts and feedback. So only with your help, folks, will more people learn about, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. We'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. Yes, Scott.
This is really good.
Scott just said it's really good. I think you can notice it's really good.
It's really good.
So, the 2016 Mercer Horsehaven Hills Family Vineyards Cabernet. We're going to start off with Scott. He's going to provide a review. We're going to mock it. No, we're not. Scott, where are you with the Mercer?
Really not certain. Like it. Recommend it. If I would do a range, I would go 89 to 91. But, mm-hmm. you know, part of this is, what is this? Is this really, you know, cellarable? Is this, does this have 5, 6, 7 years in it?
I think it has 4.
I think this has something in it for the future, and I would love to see what this becomes. But right now, I really like it. It's also my wheelhouse, so I want to be cautious. I think I'm going to give this a 90.
Yeah.
Love Horsehaven Hills. This is a little different than other Horsehaven Hills in that it has this.
It's a little bit bigger.
And it's a little more brutish. It's a little more rustic. The mid palate just overwhelms this wine, so it's a little bit out of balance.
No, it's not.
Well, not out of balance in a sense where something's wrong. It's just that blue fruit and the soft spices, they just blow by so quickly and they're so subtle. And everything else is big and bold and in your face. Super tannic backbone. It's, you know, occasionally we've been wrong on if we think something can last. This is going to last, though, folks. So if you're looking for something that you can try a bottle of it, see if you like it. If you like this, put it aside.
True.
Don't drink it all the time. Buy a half dozen bottles. Put them aside. Give them a couple years. And I think this is going to be something that even becomes more flavorful, is not quite the right word, but more distinct in its components.
Yeah.
And I think actually, if I was going to predict what would happen, the blue fruits, the sweeter fruits would be more in balance with the savory fruits as it ages and has some time on the bottle.
Probably.
But I'm going to give it a 90. I could go 91. I don't have a problem, but I recommend this highly, and I think it's a seller selection.
Ooh, we don't really do that, but...
Well, I'm doing it. I just did it.
I am going to also provide it 90 of my points. And I agree, it's an 89 to 91. I think I like it as much as you do, in a similar sense. I think that value-wise, it's an absolute out of the park home run. But with that, you have to like uglier Cabernets, but not California Cabernets, because it doesn't really resemble that. It's a Washington Cabernet. So it is representative of its region, quite frankly, because it you know it's Horsehaven Hills when you drink it. But those that are Cab fans will enjoy this and see a lot of redeeming characteristics from it. I think if you put it down for 2 or 3 years, you're going to get something that's a little more softer. Yep. With a little more length, and that's really what you're looking for. Seller selection? Well, I mean, you know, 3-4 years, sure. I think it needs it, and it's a Hall of Fame wine. It deserves that too.
For the budget price,
it's what we drink. It's why we drink things here. This is one of those ones that's a atypical wine of a Wine Vault Hall of Fame wine, or why we do this show, to find these little things that are inexpensive that are really good. And this is one of those wines that is inexpensive and is really good.
Really good. Now, is it as good as Haute de Leon?
No.
But similar to Haute de Leon, you put this back 3, 4, 5 years, you're going to have, I don't want to say something special, but you're going to be able to appreciate what wine can be.
Yes.
This is a...
How dare you, by the way, say the name Haute de Leon.
How many do you have in your cellar?
2.
Oh, really? Only 2?
How many wines do you have in your cellar?
I haven't counted them, but I just did unpack just that little crappy little shelf that I put out.
How many wines?
I'll count them.
And I bet they're not going to match mine.
I'm coming to get you.
Take you 30 years.
Lyrics, homie.
Shitty wine. Yeah. All that apothic.
6. Oh, dearly.
Means nothing to me.
Yeah.
How many Pride cabs do you have?
None.
How many sinks of paws do you have?
None.
How much heights do you have?
None. Which Clarendon Hills do you have, son?
I had it. Don't need it anymore.
It's gone. How many do you have in your cellar now?
Didn't reorder anymore because I didn't want it.
How dare you? That's a mistake on your part.
How much Carnival of Love do you have?
How much Hall do you have?
Oh, I have quite a bit of Hall.
Do you?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
How much Freemark Abbey do you have? How much Duckhorn do you have?
I've got some Duckhorns.
What Duckhorn do you have? Decoy doesn't count.
Damn it.
I have Decoy's Red Blend.
No.
That's what you have. That's what you have, doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, but
this, though.
Mercer gets
this
a Hall
is fan. Why we do the show. It's most of the time when we do a budget, we're just happy when we get a budget that's a good drink now.
Yeah.
And when you get something like this where you can appreciate what it is now, but you think that realistically is a chance of being something different. At $15, really?
It's really
good.
Yeah.
Really? I'll be honest with you. I've been looking for this out of Horse Heaven Hills. One that, because to this point, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We love the AVA, and we've had a bunch of good stuff, but all been drink now.
It's all one of those ones you go, would I really buy it?
Would I really buy it to put in a cellar?
Yeah, you're like, no, I'm not going to. I might drink it. It's a Tuesday night wine. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of Tuesday night wines. But the intrinsics and, you know, some of those, it's like, no, I'm not buying that again.
But that's 20.
I know.
That's 20, and this is 15.
I mean, there's some Chateau St. Michel's, the Indian Wells, and whatnot. You like that a lot. But you don't see it. You still don't buy it.
You know what this wine makes me want to do? And this is it. It's might not done for sure. Wine trip, Napa, wine trip,
different
whatever.
State.
I know.
Yeah.
You know it would be a good wine trip?
Washington?
Just a bed and breakfast. As close as you can get to Horse Heaven Hills. And do nothing but drink Horse Heaven Hills for a week.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic AVA. Have we had a bad Horse Heaven Hills wine?
Let me just say this. I did not care for Born of Fire.
Okay.
But that had also some...
We've also talked about that well.
Born of Fire, though, was a amalgamation of a few different AVAs. And one of them, they just had created the AVA, right? I don't remember.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
I don't remember what it was called, but because I don't care. But
it was a kitschy wine.
It was
sure.
Very kitschy.
But we kind of liked that wine. It just had some rough edges.
It did. Yeah. Well, I know. This is, though, I think the best offering we've had, especially considering the price. $290s, Hall of Fame, Mercer, tip of the cap. Good job.
Yep. But hey, folks. Or Seven Hills AVA. Just when you go out and you're looking for wines, use an app on your phone, you're out in a restaurant. If it's Horse Heaven Hills, give it a shot.
Value can be had there.
consistent quality.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, you're not going to get junk. You might get, this is, I think, one of the top level ones. But you're going to get some ones of lesser quality. But at the same time, you're not going to think they're terrible. You're going to find quality there, QPR, as it were. And you're never going to be that. You're never going to be disappointed with a Horse Heaven Hills wine. So, with that, for Rob the Wine Guy, Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. Drink the rest of this wine, and see you next time on the Wine Vault. Good night.